Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Philippians chapter 1. I believe that the Lord laid something on my heart this week. Now, if I'm wrong, if it was just something that came to mind that I thought needed to be preached, then, well, that's okay, because we're supposed to preach all of the Word, and we need to learn all the Word. I believe, though, that the Lord laid this on my heart, and I hope that He did, because I believe that if that be the case, then He's wanting to do a work in our hearts this morning, and that's what we want. We want the Lord to work on our hearts and help us and encourage us and comfort us and give us strength. And so if I'm wrong on this, then we just have us a little Bible study here. If I'm right on this, that the Lord laid this on my heart, then He has something special for us this morning. And I really believe that's what the situation is. We're going to read a text this morning, and then we're going to take a long journey around and then come back to that text. Okay, so we're going to read a text, and then we're going to look at some other things and then come back and expound. So if you want to look at it as a really long introduction, you can, but really it's just the sermon. But the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, and verses 23 and 24, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Heavenly Father, once more right before the sermon here, we ask again for Your help. And Lord, I do believe that this is the message for today. I do believe that this is what You want to be preached. I pray that You would use it for Your glory and for our benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21 says this, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Now, I just read the last two verses of the book of Revelation, which means that I just read the last two verses of the Bible. God's Word concludes with the Apostle John relating to us the words of our Savior, who said, "Surely I come quickly." And to that, the apostle says, basically what he's saying to the Lord is, "Yes, Lord, please do come quickly. Please come quickly." Now, I want to come back to not only our opening text, but I want to come back to this passage in Revelation a little bit later as well. But right now I want us to consider, I think the Lord would have us to consider these things. First of all, quickly doesn't mean to us what it means to our God. The Bible does not say that one day is 1,000 years with Him and that 1,000 years is a day. Some people misinterpret that. They twist that around, and then they try, that's where they get some of this theistic evolution. They try to say the days of creation were actually 6,000 years. But that isn't what Scripture says. But it does say that one day is as 1,000 years, and that 1,000 years is as a day. What does that mean? It's not a definite measurement of time. It means, time means nothing to our God. He exists outside of time. That's one of the attributes that makes him God. That's why I do not believe that when we get to heaven, we will exist outside of time. I believe that time shall be no more means time's up here on earth. And it'll have no effect on us. But eternity is a measurement of time. It means time never ends. And we cannot exist outside of time in heaven, or we would be like God. Only God can exist outside of time. When we get to heaven, it's just going to be that the clock just keeps on ticking and never runs down. And we never run out of time. And it never affects us. But eternity is a measurement of time. But remember this, quickly doesn't mean to us what it means to God. If a day is no different than 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is no different to a day than a day, then in God's eyes, really not that much has happened. In our eyes, in man's eyes, a lot has happened. The next thing that I think we need to see is this. God's people have always longed for and should always long for His return in their lifetime. God's people should expect the Lord to return in their lifetime. Because His return is imminent and could happen any day, we should all expect for Him to come back. None of us should expect the grave. We know that it could happen, but we should all expect to not have to go that route. We should expect the Lord to come and get us if we do believe that His return is imminent. And the third thing is this. It's a good thing to desire to be taken from this life into the next life. To be a believer, live in a fallen, sinful world, we ought to have a desire to be done and taken from this fallen, sinful world. We do have things here that we enjoy, but they're not the things of the world. We enjoy the beautiful creation that the Lord has made. We enjoy fellowship with other believers. We enjoy a good meal, some of us more than others. We enjoy time with family, time with friends. Those are not sinful things. Those are not worldly things. Those are just things of this life. As a matter of fact, we'll be able to enjoy those very same things in eternity. We will enjoy the beauty of God's creation. It'll just be a different creation. Be a new heaven, a new earth. We will be able to enjoy time with friends and family, those that are saved. We're going to enjoy the greatest meal that's ever been set before us because of the one who's going to set it before us. So these things that we enjoy here are things that we'll enjoy in eternity. It would be... Well, let me not get ahead of myself. We understand that there are things here that we enjoy, and that's fine if they're not things of this world, if they're not sinful things, and if we're not attached to those things. Okay, the Lord didn't leave us here to be miserable. We're going to suffer, we're going to have problems, but He didn't leave us here to be miserable. He gave us joy, He gave us peace. Okay? But isn't it so difficult to enjoy the good things when you're surrounded by so many bad things? I mean, we have to come in here and have this service, because if we tried to have it anywhere else, we'd have a pretty rough time of it. There are so many things we have to guard, and so many things that we have to do, and so many things we have to endure. We look forward to going home and enjoying the wonderful things that God has given us without any interference of sin. Now, it would be the height of ignorance to suppose that any of us knows when our Lord will return. It seems that in recent days, with all that is transpiring around the world, that many believers are becoming more and more certain that Christ will return in their lifetime. And I want to address that just very quickly. I want to go back to what I just now said. Okay, we have people who look at all that's happening, and there's a lot happening in our world. Okay? But let me give you this reminder. We are not looking for signs. We're looking for His appearing. But a lot of people, because of all the things that are happening right now, are starting to think more and more, He's closer, He's closer, He's closer, He's closer. And I'll say this, like I already said, we are supposed to live every day like it could be today. We should not allow the things around us to make us start looking up. We should be looking up every day, no matter what's going on around us. And we should also remember never to say it can't get any worse. If you want proof that it could always get worse, then I recommend you start with George Washington and work your way down the presidents. Every president we've ever had that we've thought, boy, it couldn't get any worse. You know what? We found out before too long, oh, I guess it could. Well, surely it couldn't get any worse than that. Well, I reckon it could, huh? Don't ever say it can't get any worse. We look at the Bible and look at what's coming to this world in the time of the tribulation, and it can definitely get worse, and it's going to get worse. But we ought not look at the things going on around us and say, oh, I think He's about to return. He told us long ago to watch for Him every day. Now, I understand some of the thinking. I'm not standing here today telling you that if you think the present situation in the world is an indicator that the Lord is even closer than we thought, that you're wrong. I'm just telling you, the Bible says we don't know and watch for Him every second. Now, I will say this. I've seen things happen in recent years that have made me even more likely to think He's going to be back in my lifetime. I still don't know. My grandparents' generation would have a hard time imagining how quickly and easily a one-world government and a one-world currency could be put into place. You and I live in a time where it could happen overnight. And that makes me think, might be an even greater chance He's coming back in my generation. But I still remember, I just don't know. And I watch for Him, we're supposed to watch for Him every day. No matter what's going on around us. And we understand that there are no signs for the church age to look for. Many times when you hear people mention signs, it's tribulation. Things that are going to happen during the tribulation. The next event on God's timeline is the rapture of the church. That is the very next thing that we are waiting to see fulfilled, is the catching away of the bride, the catching away of the church. That's the next event. However, we do understand that the events of the future, the events of the tribulation, cast a shadow to the time in which we live. We know that there will, during the tribulation, be a one-world government. We'll look at that in just a minute. There'll be a one-world currency. Many people will be deceived. There'll be a great falling away. We're going to look at all that here in just a second. We can see those things casting a shadow to where we live. And those shadows might be getting bigger and bigger and darker, because as I said, wouldn't a one world currency, a one world government, wouldn't that be so much easier now than 100 years ago with the type of technology that there is, the type of control that people have? My grandparents knew nothing of computers. Well, they came about in their lifetime, but they never owned one. They never touched one. My grandparents did not know what it was to sit down in their house, log on to a website. They didn't even know what a website was. To them, that's where all the spiders were. That was the website. They didn't know what it meant to sit down and log on to a website and by means of a satellite in space, zoom in and look at their property on a map. Hey, there's my house. I remember when I was, they probably don't even do this anymore, but I remember when I was a kid, these airplanes would fly over the house. And a couple weeks later, a guy would show up at your door and he had these pictures about this big in frames. And it was a picture of your property from the airplane. And they'd sell them. Do you guys remember that? Maybe they did it out in the country more than in town, because I'm getting some yeses and I'm getting some noes. But I know out in the country they did a lot. They'd come up to your door and how many of you had one? I think my grandparents bought one year. Brother Randy said they had one. But they'd fly over and take this aerial photography. They'd bring it to your house and people would think, wow, that's really neat, because we hadn't been up in airplanes and, you know, the trees weren't that tall. Wow, that's neat. That wouldn't interest anybody today, would it? I can just go online and do that. Yeah, if you did that now, showed up at somebody's house, they'd think you were spying on them. And maybe some people are. But see, my grandparents' generation, they knew nothing of those things. You can sit down today and get on your computer. You hear about this airport in Kabul, or however you pronounce it, over in Afghanistan. You get on your computer today. I haven't done it, but you get on your computer today, zoom right into that thing. Look at that airport. See what all is around there. My grandparents couldn't do that. My great-grandparents wouldn't have done that. There's a generation so far removed that if you'd have told them you could do that one day, they might have accused you of voodoo and witchcraft. But to us, you can take out your phone and do it. You and I can see how a government and world governments can take control just like that, can't we? We can see it a lot easier. I think the shadows are darker now. But every day we're getting closer, whenever that day is. Every day the shadows are growing bigger and growing darker. Now, I don't mean dark as far as gloom. I just mean every day takes us closer. We see some things that weren't happening before. We say, boy, that could really happen quickly now. But the next event is not some sign that the Lord tells us to watch. Okay, when you see this happen, no. The next event is He's going to appear in the clouds and take us out of here. And that's what we're supposed to be watching for. Now, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to look just quickly. This will be a little bit of a study here. I want to look very quickly at some of the events that people erroneously apply to the church age. Do you believe that we are living in a time of great apostasy? Do you think that like never before people are turning their back on God and giving up on the Bible, and yes. But do you believe it is the great falling away mentioned in Scripture? Well, look at what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says. Verse 1, Paul. Wait. Chapter 2, not chapter 1. What did I tell you? Chapter 2? Thessalonians 2, 2? Okay. I just thought I'd read out of 1. Let you guys read out of 2. Chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay, who is that man of perdition? That's the Antichrist. That's the beast. He won't be here until the tribulation. I remember when 9/11 happened. People said, you think bin Laden's the Antichrist? No, and even if he was, it wouldn't matter because I'm not going to be here when he takes over. And then when that died down, well, you think Obama's the Antichrist? No, I believe he's going to be a little bit smarter than that. And then that died down, and well, you think Hillary's the Antichrist? Maybe if it didn't say son of perdition. No, I've heard people talk about, I mean, really, this stuff is out there. But we found the Antichrist. We know where he's living. We know where he's... No, you don't. Oh, he's not in power yet, but he's gonna... Oh, I've heard, you know, Donald Trump was the Antichrist. It's nonsense. And even if any of those people were, which they're not, but even if they were... Antichrist comes into power during the Great Tribulation when the church is gone. Okay? So what Paul's talking about here with the church in Thessalonica is when he talks about the day of the Lord, that's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? The rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ are two different events. The first one, the rapture, he appears in the cloud to catch the church away. At the end of the tribulation period, the day of the Lord is the second coming of Jesus Christ where he physically comes back to this earth. Okay? And there's where some of the confusion comes in because people get the terms mixed up. And they think, second coming, I'm waiting on the second coming. You're not supposed to wait on the second coming. You're going to be, if you're saved, you're going to be a part of the second coming. We're going to come back with him. You're supposed to be watching for the rapture, the catching away. But I pointed this out, or this is what I want to point out here. The apostasy spoken of here takes place during the tribulation. So how's there going to be a falling away when the church is gone? Well, remember that there will be people left here who were never born again, but profess to be believers. They profess to be Christians. Well, they had the "In God We Trust" license plate, and they'd never put their trust in his son. They had the bumper stickers. They named the name of Christ, but they never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. the world will be full of them. The world's full of them now. The world will be full of them. They, in some ways, while during this life, have some semblance of moral living, but those were only works of the flesh. They will then, during that tribulation period, they will then turn their backs completely on what they never really trusted in this life. And we can already see that shadow looming. We can already see people now who profess to be believers turning their back on this word. We already see people who say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But like we talked about in Sunday school, they don't think there's anything wrong with being on their fifth or sixth wife. Oh yeah, I'm a believer. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. You believe in the God of the Bible? The Holy Bible? Oh yes. I went to Bible school growing up. I went to Sunday school. Grandma took me to Sunday school every week. And then that same person will tell you that they believe a person can choose their gender. And they believe that homosexuality is not a sin. And they believe that a person has a right to end a pregnancy if they want. Same people will tell you those things. Come on, we knock on doors of people that have crosses hanging in the windows and hanging on the doors, and they don't know a thing about what this Bible says. They have no idea who Jesus Christ is. You'll ask somebody, and they'll tell you that they're a Christian, and you'll ask them how they know. And they couldn't quote the gospel to you if you spotted them book and chapter where to look it up. If you turned them to the page where one of the pages in the Bible where the gospel could be found, if you took them to John chapter 3 and said, it's in here somewhere, it'd take them forever to find it. Now those that are like that and have never been born again, they will be here. Because you're not going if you're not born again. They will be here. And when the events of the tribulation start to unfold, they already denied God's word before the church left. And when the events of the tribulation start to unfold, they'll completely abandon it. You know why? Well, one reason is because hunger has a mighty loud voice. I can't eat unless I take that mark. They won't turn my lights back on unless I take that mark. They won't turn my water back on unless I take that mark. And many of them will do so knowing the consequences, and perhaps some will do so ignorantly. But that great falling away is during the tribulation, right before the Antichrist is revealed. But we see the shadow of it. We see people already moving in that direction, don't we? Yeah, it's all over the place. It's all over the place. We know, turn to Revelation 13, we know that there will be, during the tribulation period, a one world government. Revelation 13. I'm sorry. Well, Revelation 13, And verse 7, this is talking about the beast, which is the Antichrist. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So the Antichrist, the beast, who gets his power from the devil, will have power over the nations. He'll rule over the nations for a while. There's your one world government. Can we see the shadow of that prophecy? Well, like I said, we can see how easily one person could perhaps take that control. Maybe we're not quite there, but we can see it becoming easier and easier for at least a government to do that, so it won't be long before one person could do that easily. Well, I'll just run out and hide somewhere. You know, these guys are real big on prepping, these preppers. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with being prepared for natural disasters. But some of these guys are paranoid, and they call themselves preppers, and they call it bugging out. They've got a bug out cabin and a bug out bag, and I'm going to bug out when they come to get me. Well, again, they can zoom in from space and see you standing in your front yard. I don't think it's going to be that hard for them to find you if they really want to find you. They have that kind of technology. During the tribulation, man, we have no idea what they already have developed. Who knows? Now, it won't matter to us because we're going to be gone. But we can see how easily a one-world government could come in to being a reality just because we see the shadow of that prophecy. Let me ask you this. Are there nations right now that would love to be in control of the entire world? If you don't think China is champing at the bit, if you don't think Russia is champing at the bit to control the entire world, if you don't think North Korea would like to, now China and Russia have got a little more going for them than North Korea does, but there are already nations that have two goals in mind. Annihilate Israel, and they won't. They can't, but they'll try. Annihilate Israel and take control of the world's government. You know, this idea, we just keep to ourselves. America just needs to keep to itself and leave. But the world doesn't work that way, folks. You know why we have allies? You know why we have to fight wars on foreign soil? Because there's always somebody wanting to take over somebody else's soil. And you have to keep it at bay. Okay, if the idea of everybody just stay on your own ground and stay there and leave everybody else alone. Look, we're not even at war with Mexico. But we're having a hard time keeping their citizens to stay on their ground and not come into ours illegally. People don't just stay put and stay happy where they're at. Nations want to grab up as much land as they can, as much power. It's always been that way. It's in the Bible. It's always been that way. We already see nations that would love to have world domination. So we can kind of see some shadows. But we don't know how long these things will go on before we're taken out of this world. Because we just don't know how bad things can get before the Lord takes us home. We might make those comments, it can't get any worse, it can't get any worse. We don't know. We just don't know. But I will say this. Back to what we read earlier, or what I read to you out of Revelation. The Apostle John said, "Yes, Lord, come back and get us." No matter what was going on, every generation has longed for the Lord to come back. Even the generations that had it a lot better than we have it. Every generation has longed for the Lord to come back. Why? Because Bible-believing Christians are supposed to long for the Lord to come back every single day and take them home. Whether their government's treating them right or not treating them right. Whether everything's falling apart or things are recovering, things are getting better. A Bible-believing Christian is supposed to be looking for the blessed hope. So we don't know when the Lord's going to come back. We don't know just how bad things can get. But let's look at some of the things that we do know. We know this. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and read this one with me. 1 Thessalonians 5 and beginning in verse 1, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day, and we are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Look again at verse 9. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath." This is what we know. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says he's delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says he's not appointed us to wrath. The tribulation period is a time of great wrath. Here's what we know. I don't know when the Lord's coming back to get us. I don't know if it's going to be in my lifetime or my, maybe I'll be gone. It'll be in my children's lifetime or my grandchildren. I don't know. But you know what? I know he's getting me out of here before the tribulation. You've got all these views, these ideas, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I'm about as pre-trib as they come. I don't see any evidence for anything other than he's going to get us out of here before it all starts. Now you got people say, well, it's mid-trib, right before everything gets bad. Well, I don't agree with you on that. But I do know his word says, I'm not going through that wrath. Wrath in Scripture very often refers to God's dealing with this world. And he saved us from the wrath to come. You say, well, that's hell. Well, yeah, he saved me from that, but that's not the only kind of wrath. He's not appointed me to wrath, so he has not assigned that I would endure that wrath. Go back to Mark, but look at chapter 13. And verse 32. "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Watch. The Lord said, you don't know when I'm coming back to get you. Watch. Watch. Keep your eyes open. Watch. I believe this is rapture of the church. Why do I believe that? Because he said, only the Father knows when this day is going to happen. Now, that can't be the day of the Lord, the second coming of Christ, because as soon as the church is taken out of here, you start counting. 7 years exactly, the Lord's coming back. And anybody that wants to during the tribulation that can get their hands on a Bible will be able to look that up and see what their timeline is. That's specifically laid out in Scripture. Going to have three, and they'll have 3.5 years of peace. Then they'll have 3.5 years of torment and wrath. And at the end of that, not 7 years, and then they kind of wait around for a few more months. Exactly 7 years, and the Lord will be back. But here he's talking about a time that nobody can know but God. He's talking to us, believers, right now in the church age, waiting for him to come back and get us. And what does he say? You don't know when I'm coming, so you watch. You watch. Remember when you were little and your brothers and sisters, cousins, or whoever, you were doing something you weren't supposed to be doing, you was up to something, you was getting in something, and you'd put somebody on watch. You let us know if mom and dad are coming. You let us know if grandma's coming or if grandpa's coming. You get somebody on watch, you know, keeping an eye out. The Lord says, you don't know when I'm coming back to get you, so you watch. It reminds me, I've shared this story before, and I just mentioned it at home the other day, and it comes to mind now. I think it fits here. When Colin and Alex and Ashton were very little, Colin was only about 2 or 3 years old. We lived in this little townhouse. And the living room and the kitchen and a little bathroom were downstairs, and the bedrooms were upstairs. And downstairs, over by this little closet, there was the kids had their toys in their room, but they also had this little toy basket downstairs with some toys that they could play with in the living room. And they had, you know, they had those out and torn up, and they were big enough to pick up after themselves, and so that's what we would make them do. Get your toys picked up, get cleaned up. And like kids do, sometimes they need a little motivation. They drag their feet, and so we had this timer. And we set that timer. You've got so many minutes, okay? You got 5 minutes, get this picked up. And I went upstairs. And I don't know if they were watching for me or not. I would hope not, because it would really make me question the intelligence of the children that I brought into this world. They knew that Dad was coming back when this timer went off. Dad did not know. I'm not going to say how clever little kids are. I'm going to say, if you ever doubt that we are born sinners, wait until you have your first child. You will find out that we are born just as wretched and deceitful as anything, okay? He's like 3 years old. Cute, sweet, funny little Colin. And I came down the steps, came down and turned around the corner there where I could see out a little bit. And he didn't know I was there, and his back was to me. And I turned around. I looked in there just in time to see him run over to. He was playing. He was like dancing and playing around. And I saw him run over and reach up and grab the timer and turn it back about 5 minutes and set it down and went right back to playing. Do you know how hard it is to discipline a child that pulls something like that? Because you're upset and they've been deceptive and you need to discipline them, but at the same time, you're trying not to laugh. And you're thinking, well, he's not a dummy. He's not stupid. I'll just give myself more time. I didn't even know that he understood that concept. I thought he just understood, When that gets up here, it goes ding, and it better be done. I didn't even know that he could think that far. I'll turn that thing back and give myself more time. And from then on, we paid a little more attention to what Colin did around the house. Church, that applies in this way. we don't know. He didn't know when I was, he knew when that timer was going to go off, but I could come back anytime and check on him. He didn't know. And his answer, instead of getting the job done, was, I'll try to buy more time. You're not going to buy any more time. You're not going to turn the hand back. You're not going to crank that timer back. I don't know when the Lord's coming, but I'll do this to stall it. You're not stalling a thing. The Lord says, you don't know when I'm coming back, but there's a set time that my Father has chosen, and I'll be back at that time, and you better be watching for me. You better keep your eyes open and be watching for that time that I'm going to return. And so since we don't know, what are we to do? Well, very quickly, if you'll turn with me, Titus chapter 2. Pardon me. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11, here it is. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There it is. When people talk about signs and all that, no, here's what the church age looks for. We don't look for signs. We don't watch for anything. We watch for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the blessed hope that you and I watch for. And then go to Luke chapter 12 with me. Luke chapter 12. I'm not going to try to, I don't think I can get it finished up this morning. We're going to have to finish it up tonight. We're not even going to get back to our original text there until this evening, but it'll all come together. But look at Luke chapter 12. Okay, we don't know. We don't know. So since I don't know, what am I supposed to do? The Lord says, you watch. What am I supposed to watch for? You're supposed to watch for Him to return. Watch for the blessed hope. Watch for His appearing in the clouds. Watch for the catching away of the church. Luke chapter 12 and verse 35. Bible says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself, make them to sit down to meat, and he will come forth and serve them. If he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, if you knew when somebody was going to come and break in your house, you'd be watching and waiting for him. So since you don't know when the Lord's going to return, you're to watch even more. If you knew, you'd watch when that time got close. If you don't know, then you have to keep an even closer watch. Keep your eyes open and watch. But what are we to watch? Well, Lord tells us we don't know when he's coming back. We can see some shadows of some of the things that are going to happen during the tribulation. We get closer every day. Maybe the events around the world are some of the things God's doing to wrap things up. Maybe it's just another link in the chain. We don't know. What do I know? I know that I don't know. I don't know when he's coming back. So I'll watch and I'll watch and I'll watch and I'll watch. But what am I to watch? Well, not the things going on around me. Not to get caught up in the things that are happening around me, but for his return. To keep looking up, to keep watching the heavens, to expect him to come back and get me today. And if he doesn't, then expect him to come back and get me tomorrow. We don't know, so what do? We watch. Now, I'm gonna go ahead and close the sermon there because there's no way that I can get all of it completed this morning. This is all going to come back around to Philippians that we read this morning. It really is, I promise you. You have to come back tonight to see how it works. But it does all come back around. But for now, terrible things going on in this world. Well, you think he's coming back? I know he's coming back. You think he's coming back soon? I hope he is. When do you think he'll be back? I have no idea. But it could be today, so I'll watch for him today. And if not, I'll watch for him tomorrow, and then I'll watch for him on Tuesday. But we have some more to that, and we'll look at that here this evening. So we'll close with that. We'll finish this up. We'll leave here knowing this, knowing that we don't know, so we better be watching, so that when he comes, he will find us watching. What do we put our hands to do? Something that he'll be pleased with when he comes back and finds us watching. We'll finish this up tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the instruction. We thank you for the comfort. We thank you for all of your blessings. And Lord, we just ask that you would give us an understanding of what we have read this morning, and that you'd work on our hearts, Lord, and help us to do as we've read this morning, to keep watching for that blessed hope, to not be discouraged, to not be wrapped up in the things going on around us, but that we would keep watching for you and laboring for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.